There are a number of varieties of positive aspects to going to a school which is considered on the smaller side, such as is the case with Emmanuel. One such advantage is that one can learn the names and identities of one's fellow students far more rapidly than would probably be the case in a larger setting. Probably in the span of a week or less, most of you at the beginning of the school year knew the names of all of your fellow students. Well, conversely, the greater the number of people in some kind of entity, the more impersonal one is sort of forced to become. By way of example, I'm a part of a variety of the associations, or whatever you want to call them, where it appears that I am known much more readily, not by name, but as a number. As a customer of the phone company, for example, I'm just 715-834-7332. As a client at U.S. Bank, I'm 91337, number. The United Airlines mileage program, which has who knows how many people involved with that, is letter 144453. So how are we known by God? There have, after all, been billions upon billions of people born into the world. You can imagine the number of digits that would be needed for every single human being to have his or her own identity code. And yet you don't have to imagine such a number, because the Lord doesn't use numbers. He doesn't need numbers. Speaking about himself as the Good Shepherd, Jesus says in John 10, "He calls his own sheep by name." Jesus calls his sheep by name. Is that comforting or a little disturbing? There have been those times for all of us, I'm sure, where we had our names called out, perhaps by a parent who had discovered that we had broken a rule, and it was an unpleasant thing to hear. Perhaps experiencing that situation where something was done and we heard our first names called out, followed by a loud middle name. Well, as uncomfortable as it is when there's a shout out of that type involving human beings, imagine the horror of having the Lord call out our name as the prelude to punishment. He has every right to do so. He knows our sins. He knows how we have transgressed. He knows even those sinful thoughts that we have allowed to take place in our hearts. And so he has every right to thunder our names in anger. He has every right to call out our names with a condemning tone, as he did with the misguided Pharisee when he said, "Saul, Saul." The then called Saul fell to his knees terrified, as would we if we were to hear the Lord call out our names in that way. Thankfully, that is not the type of name calling described in our text. The 10th chapter of John presents the Lord's description of himself as the Good Shepherd. And in this section, he points out that he is the one who loves and defends and protects the sheep that are so very precious to him. This section is void of condemnation because he voided all condemnation when he himself took our sins to the cross. He says in the 11th chapter, "I'm the Good Shepherd." The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. When the time came for our sins to be punished, God did not haul us in front of him before his throne with angry tones of gloom, but rather sent his beloved Son to experience the doom. Jesus has removed our guilt, and now our names are cleared. And so when he tells us that he calls us each by name, he's not revealing a determination to punish, but rather a deep desire to bless. Saying that he knows us by name appears to be one of his ways of expressing his deep devotion and commitment. And the attention that God gives is truly remarkable. It's remarkable that the eternal God of heaven directs his attention to little human beings at all, we who are really nothing more than animated piles of dust. King David was amazed by this. He said in Psalm 8, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him?" It is amazing that the God who directs stars in their courses also looks out for the feeble human race. But he does, and in doing so, he provides the sunshine and the rain to grow the food and provide the clothing that we also very much need. His attention becomes even more remarkable, however, as it narrows. Even though he is focused on the affairs of the entire human race, he is especially interested in the affairs of his Christian church. We believers stand justified in his sight by faith. We've been declared righteous, and we are assured that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Christ controls all things for the welfare of his church, governing all events for the good of his body. But the Lord's attention narrows again, in a manner of speaking, to individual believers. As our shepherd, he calls us each by name. In the college religion class, we were recently considering some of the aspects of the Lord's parable about the lost sheep, and we're considering how it is quite something that in the business world, the loss of 1% in a year would probably not be considered that big of a deal or something to be all that concerned about. But the Lord says when he has 100 sheep and just one of them wanders off and becomes lost, he leaves the 99 and heads out. He's determined to find that one. He loves that one so fervently and consistently. His focus is uninterrupted on every single one of us. And what does that mean? It means that he knows our individual personalities. He knows our unique needs. It means that he doesn't govern your lives in the same way that he governs mine, because all of our lives are different, even as our names are all different. It means that the Lord does not randomly allow things to drift into our lives unattended to. He doesn't experiment with our lives, trying this to see if this might be interesting or trying that to see how it might play out. Every decision he makes is personalized. Every event carefully crafted out of his concern for our temporal good and our eternal success. One of the psalmists declares, "The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us." We are stepping once again into the pre-Christmas season, of course, and it's likely that a bunch of retailers will once again promote their product and encourage us to buy them because they will be able to personalize them, put a name on every one of the things if we so choose. Well, it's as if the Lord, our shepherd, personalizes all the aspect of our lives, the lives of his sheep. A certain gift he gives to this sheep, a special blessing he gives to this one, a unique challenge he might direct in the life of another one of his sheep to be followed by a personalized solution. Through the prophet Isaiah, he says, "See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me." Yes, there are billions of people in the world, but we are no mere number. We are the Lord's sheep. He calls us by name. We have become the number one focus of the one and only God. How gracious, how God-like, and how good. As one of the hymn writers penned it, "Jesus loves me every day the same, even calls me by my name." Another hymn which makes reference to the Lord's use of our name is hymn 374, stanzas 1 through 3, hymn 374, first three stanzas. Charming sound,
grace that